District Sentinel Radio here, the newscast of record for the left, bringing you daily updates on the worst tweet tournament. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We are in the Harper is a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. We are currently in name negotiations with Brandon, who won the tournament bracket. So he gets to name the studio. Tomorrow, the studio will have a new name. We're not sure what it is yet. We're currently checking with our legal team about names that have been proposed. So that's where we are right now. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. We also have t-shirts to give out to the top three, including Brandon. Those t-shirts will go out to Dean Smith is a Fraud and NCAA Sucks, their brackets. So if those are your brackets, reach out to us. You can tweet at me or Sam Knight, at Sam Sachs, at Sam Knight underscore O-N-E. Don't tweet at intern Nate. We don't want to dox him.
Just missing out on a podium position in fourth place, intern Nate Silver.
Just missed out.
It's a clever pun there.
Anyways, that'll be the last talk about that bracket, that the NCAA March Madness bracket for till next year, until we do this again next year. Meanwhile, in other bracket news, the worst tweet tournament has reached regional finals week, and we got results in the Acela Corridor and Shitlib regions today, where we saw a number one seed go down, Matt Iglesias, in the Acela Corridor region, losing to fellow Vox owner Ezra Klein. So congratulations to Ezra Klein on being the Acela Corridor winner.
And thanks to GE for sponsoring the Vox Civil War.
In the Shitlib region, we saw a number two seed go down, Ian Millhiser. His I have not been arrested tweet, losing out to the number four seed, Joy Reid, Soviet Yugoslavia tweet. So congratulations to Joy Reid on winning the Shitlib region.
That's Joy Reid and Ezra Klein, the first two into the excrement eight.
That is correct. Two other spots in the excrement eight now up for competition. We go to the Celebrity Land and Clown Politician regions. Celebrity Land, we got Chuck Woolery, who's, as of right now, losing to Kevin Smith's, we all know Kevin Smith's Pones the Dick tweet. It's a strong, strong contender right there.
Woolery,
a number
and
one
brown
seed,
area.
Though.
Yeah. Pones the Dick and Brown area. Not just the Dick.
No, yeah, okay. Right. So, yeah, Chuck Woolery, the one seed, in trouble here. And then in the Clown Politician region, we got Hillary Clinton, how does college debt make you feel in three emojis, beating Paul Ryan's $1.50 raise tweet. So voting ends around 1 p.m. tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Follow at Worst Damn Tweet to get involved.
Before we move on, just want to give a shout out to Gage, the Georgetown Alliance of Graduate Employees. Congratulations. They won the right to hold an election. School's administration said yesterday it will recognize the vote. So congrats to them. Well done.
Yeah, I remember we recognized their effort at one of our live shows.
Karen Rice, the Gage organizer, was our interview guest.
Yeah, yeah. Which reminds me, we've got another live show coming up in about 2.5 weeks, 4/20, April 20th.
Yeah, people have been tweeting at me saying, hey, Sam, where can I get tickets for this 4/20 live show?
Funny you should ask. I have the place you can get them right here, squareup.com/store/districtsentinel. Right now, get your tickets, $42. Yeah, that sounds like a lot, but it's all inclusive. If you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean, Sam?
I do.
Intern Nate, you picking up what I'm putting down?
I think so.
Thank you to all the new subscribers on our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. $5 a month gets you access to our bonus content. It also gets you a haiku. So let's read a little poetry.
This is for Jamie. Don't attack sweet Jeff, our innocent Amazon, my billionaire boy.
Thank you, Jamie. This one is for Damon. Slow news day today. Going to cover most things except Vanderzwan.
Thank you, Damon. This is for John. Where is God's plenty? Everywhere, only one choice. Raw rolling papers.
Thank you, John. Finally, this is for Robbie. The daily banter. Spoonfuls of banter each day. I love to eat shit.
Thank you, Robbie, and fuck you to the daily banter.
Again, thanks to all the new subscribers on Patreon. That's patreon.com/districtsentinel. It's Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. Here's the news. Being in D.C. so you don't have to be comes with its downsides. A lot of them. It is piss town. But today, the Associated Press clued us in to another bad reason to live here. In correspondence with Senator Ron Wyden, the Department of Homeland Security acknowledged for the first time that foreign spies and criminals are using cell site simulators to eavesdrop on phone calls in the nation's capital. The devices, sometimes called stingrays or dirt boxes, are routinely...
I've never heard dirt box. That sounds so filthy.
Anyways, they're routinely used by local and federal law enforcement to find suspects' locations.
That's called a honeypot.
Their widespread use by cops was only learned in the recent years through reporting about them. In many cases, departments were using the surveillance technology without a warrant. Federal agencies have since changed their guidelines and require a warrant in most cases. Now, this is the first time it's been acknowledged that other entities beyond cops...
I'm just imagining them being called like mud tunnels.
As I was saying, this is the first time it's been acknowledged that other entities beyond cops are using them against U.S. populations. The Associated Press noted research in 2014 when security company researchers found devices near the White House, the Supreme Court, the Commerce Department, and the Pentagon, among other locations. The FCC reportedly formed a task force after this to study the issue, but they never produced a report. But don't worry, the listener rant line is hardened for these sort of intrusions.
One possibility I'd like to float, maybe a conspiracy theory, but opposition research.
Yeah, no, yeah, that could be a lot of it, which would still be criminal activity.
True. There could be mud tunnels under the DNC. Scott Pruitt has been under heavy scrutiny in recent days. Late last week, ABC News reported that Pruitt is renting a Capitol Hill condo co-owned by an energy lobbyist for $50 a night. A few weeks ago, his total expenditures on first-class travel were clocked at $105,000. And rubbing salt in the wound, the Washington Post reported yesterday that Pruitt's staff wanted to rent a private jet for $100,000 per month. So it should come as no surprise, given what happened to Tom Price, that Pruitt's job is now in jeopardy. Here was the EPA administrator today hiding behind baseball.
Opening day was last week. And so as we start the new baseball season, all teams across baseball are very optimistic about winning the World Series. And as I kid my friends from Chicago, after all, if the Cubs can win, anybody can. And so that hope and optimism that has driven baseball this time of the year, it's driving the economy across the country as well.
That literally makes no fucking sense.
Also, give it up, buddy. You're not going to win over Dude Slater. Yeah, the old the economy is good because of baseball take. It's a classic.
It reminds me of the person who tweeted at me today that Donald Trump attacking Amazon is anti-democracy.
Pruitt was speaking today because he was unveiling the reversal of Obama-era vehicle emission standards, rules that would have impacted cars made in the middle of next decade. Here was the EPA head praising his relaxation of the pollution standards, and he's making sure, you'll note, to heap praise on his stupid, diaped-up boss baby.
This president has shown tremendous courage to say to the American people that America is going to be put first. And I think this midterm evaluation, the auto sector, the importance of auto manufacturing to this country, the president again is saying America is going to be put first. And we have nothing to be apologetic about.
For the record, midterm evaluation there was a reference to the emissions rule, not this November's election. Anyway, Pruitt can take some comfort in the fact that Trump reportedly called him yesterday to offer his support. However, here was the president today when asked by reporters about his EPA head.
Thank you.
I hope he's going to be great.
So, tough to hear, but the president said, I hope he's going to be great. Not even Trump's melted brain is leaking with confidence in Pruitt.
Speaking of problems at the EPA, this is one that long precedes Mr. Pruitt. In news we didn't get to on Monday, a federal judge in California has ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency egregiously violated its duty to timely rule on civil rights claims against polluters. The case focused on power plants, waste dumps, and landfills in several states across the country where pollution disproportionately hit minority communities. The formal complaints were filed with the EPA between 1994 and 2005. And EPA just narrowly missed their required deadline to take action on the complaints, which is 180 days. The agency instead ruled in 10 to 20 years. In one case, it took the EPA 25 years to rule that a wood-burning power plant polluted Flint, Michigan, and that it was discrimination. Suzanne Novak, who represented the plaintiff groups, told Courthouse News, quote, it would have been very helpful to have that finding 25 years ago.
Finally, Trump is playing to his white nationalist base in a promise to increase militarization of the U.S.-Mexico border. The president today said, quote, we're going to do some things militarily until we can have a wall and proper security. We're going to be guarding our border with the military. He continued, we cannot have people flowing into our country illegally, disappearing, and by the way, never showing up for court. The comment also comes as the president is weaving a new ugly narrative about immigrants, about, quote, caravans of people, migrants without documents, coming from Central America.
A crisis that he probably completely manufactured and one that was resolved just as quickly.
I told Mexico very strongly, you're going to have to do something about these caravans that are coming up. And I just noticed that the caravan now, which is toward the middle of Mexico, coming up from Honduras, is breaking up very rapidly. That's because Mexico has very strong immigration laws, as we should have.
I don't know if anybody got a chance to see Randy Quaid's rendition of Trump's tweet from the weekend. I highly recommended it. Heightens the... I don't know, the nightmarish qualities of what our president is getting into.
You did show me that tweet, and Randy Quaid does appear to be lampooning the president and correctly channeling what a hellish dystopian nightmare this is. For those who don't know, I think this is the tweet that Quaid made fun of. But the president said on Sunday, quote, getting more dangerous, caravans coming, Republicans must go to nuclear option to pass tough laws now. No more DACA deal.
Happy Easter.
The Pepes are probably loving that shit.
One last story today. President Trump met with the leaders of several Baltic nations. In fact, we have audio of the president meeting the head of state of Latvia.
What the fuck did they do? Who the fuck is this? Who the fuck is Tingus Pingus? I never heard of fucking Latvia. You drafted this fucking kid. You stupid motherfuckers. You.
It's one of the greatest. sports-related YouTube clips of all time, as you probably know. It's not Donald Trump, but it's a New York Knicks fan reacting to the draft choice of Kristaps Porzingis.
Who's now one of the best players in the NBA, is he?
Yeah, when he's not hurt. That's the show. We're going to end the show on that note, except we do have one listener call to get to. Here's the rant line.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Nate. Quick comment about the tournament. If Eric Garland goes all the way like I have him doing, I think the Washington Post reporter David Farenthold deserves some kind of collateral prize for his reply to the tweet. The damn man, this is great writing. All right, that's it. Thanks.
That is a very good comment. I will take that on board because we
considered that tweet along with Claire Jeffrey's tweet praising Eric Garland in the tournament.
But also we intend to reach out to the winner for comment.
Mm-hmm.
But in Eric Garland's case, I guess we couldn't reach out to Brianna Snarth because deleted account.
We could probably track her down. Maybe we should get like a documentary crew. And it'd be like finding Brianne, like after she.
Well, either way, if Eric Garland wins, I definitely think we should reach out to all the dipshit lanyards in the media who elevated him.
100%. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Call the rant line 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Tell your friends to listen. The newscast returns tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.